realfaith.org.au.
I got married at 21 and we wanted to start a family young, but there was a lot of complications, and then we went and got the test done and everything like that, and then I was told that I wouldn't be a dad. And then after 4 years, my wife was like, I don't feel this is going anywhere. And I was like, okay, I kind of feel the same way. And then she took off, but she, little did I know, she was actually taken off with another person.
Welcome to Real Faith, conversations about the impact faith has on our lives and the challenges we go through, helping us today and giving us hope for tomorrow. That's Real People, Real Life and Real Faith with Eric Scatterbo.
Ree Solomon, otherwise known as D4C, is a hip-hop artist who describes himself as a misfit, never feeling like he quite fits in. But he's now found a role that he's thriving in and absolutely loves doing what he's doing. Reese, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me.
Glad to have you on. And tell us about that. You felt like a misfit? Why was that?
Well, I grew up as a Christian. I was in a non-Christian school. So that in itself is, I didn't fit in with a lot of people. But
okay, yeah. That would be understandable. So did you have any misfit kind of experiences?
Well, a lot of my friends were, a lot of my friends were either Filipino or South African, or I'm white skin. A lot of them weren't white skin. I was like the one, I was the outcast, I guess you would say, or misfit. So me, I was different no matter what, wherever we walked, wherever we went, I was the one that was noticeable because I was a lot different than everybody else. But then also because of my Christian background and my Christian belief, they were all doing drugs and alcohol and everything like that, where I stood my stance and wouldn't fall for peer pressure. So in that regard, no matter what we were doing, I was always the misfit of everything we were doing. So it's kind of just like it's something that I've took on as a persona, as I'm a misfit than everyone else, and I don't want to be like everyone else. And plus I wear baggy clothes and everything like that, so I don't fit in with most church groups either, because I look different. Yeah. So, and I'm covered in tattoos, and so I like to be the misfit. Is pretty much what
yeah,
I like
that's
to
kind
know.
Of that's kind of interesting, because a lot of times when people say, "Oh, a misfit," it's something they don't want to be, but it sounds like it's something you thrive on.
Yeah, definitely. I like being different. Like, I don't want to be like everyone else. Why be like everyone else? Everyone else is boring. Be different. Yeah. Be a misfit. So, that's it.
That's interesting. Now, you mentioned that you were a strong Christian.
I was born into a Christian family, so I just grew up living the Christian lifestyle, so that's all I ever really knew. So, just a Christian since I was a kid. I remember giving my life to God when I was about 4 or 5 years old, and I wear these wristbands, WWJD, which most people remember back from the old days, but I still wear them today, and I've worn them every day on my wrists since I was 14, 15 years old. I'm now 35, so you do the math. And, it's how I like to live my life is, what would Jesus do? And I want to be as Christ-like as possible. So,
yeah. Now, a lot of people are raised in a Christian family, but then they find out, well, that was kind of my parents' faith, but I'm not into that.
Yep.
But it sounds like you really owned your faith.
Yeah, definitely. When I was like 25 is when everything like went wrong in my life. But up until then, I was, I just living the Christian life. What I was raised to do, especially, I was also the oldest child out of my siblings. So I was raised to set the example. I took that on, and that's why I've never tried drugs, never tried drinking. I don't swear. All that kind of thing is like I tried to set the example as good as possible. And that's, I took that on. So,
and that worked for you, it sounds like.
Yeah, it worked for me. My siblings didn't follow. But you know, I liked it about myself that I didn't fall for peer pressure, and I didn't fall for what all my friends were doing, like the cool thing that they were doing. I like to be different. And it worked in a way, because whenever they were in a real bad down situation, I was the one they came to when they wanted to discuss like life and discuss God and everything like that. So, and nowadays, like we're in our mid-30s, like it's good to see some of my friends are actually Christians now, and they tell me they used to watch me in high school and watch how I stood up for myself and stood up for my beliefs, which kind of 10, 15 years later made them like, wow, I want to be like that. So I guess.
So you were planting seeds way back then.
Yeah. Well, it's, yeah, when you look at it that way, it kind of makes me feel, even though I could possibly every once in a while feel like I missed out on a lot because of the way I was.
Yeah.
I don't believe I did, because I was doing exactly what I was supposed to do or what I wanted to do. And it's actually worked like 15 years later. I've planted seeds along the way and they've grown to how they are now.
Yeah. Now, in your high school years,
yep,
were you into hip hop music at that point?
Yeah, definitely. Well, that's how I got myself into the I guess you call us the crew that were in. And it was, we sat in a certain spot in school, and we used to call it the Compton Corner. And that was before, like, Compton's real cool now because of that movie that came out. But back in the days, like, NWA and Tupac and all that was, like, the big cool thing when we were growing up in school. So we had our Compton Corner. So there was, like, me, and then there was a whole bunch of, like, guys that were thugging or gangsterish type mentalities that – they're the people that I associated myself with.
Even though you were the good Christian kid?
Yeah, well, because they were the guys that they're the people that I related to because of my love for hip hop and also my love for basketball. They loved hip hop and they loved basketball, so it kind of, because we played basketball together, I kind of formed a friendship with them all, and yeah, it kind of grew from there. So, and then
what did they think of you? Weren't you kind of, hey, this is the goody-goody Christian guy? Or how did they think of you?
They did think of me as the goody-goody Christian guy. And a lot of them would try and, like, if, like, say we're at, like, a party or at a friend's house or anything like that, and they're all drinking, they're like, hey, have some. But it's me saying no to all that kind of thing is what kind of planted the seeds to grow a lot further along the way. So
you were interacting with very non-Christian type kids, it sounds like.
Yes, very much.
But still maintaining your Christian witness and having a strong faith.
Yeah, oh, definitely.
Okay, so, I mean, that's pretty much the ideal that every parent would love their child to, you know, stand up for their faith, even in the face of adversity and other people picking on them. So going pretty good for you as a young Christian at that point, it sounds like.
Yeah, well, my biggest hero growing up was Jesus. And so, like, he hung out with all the people that were doing the wrong thing and the people that were doing So I saw that in a way it was like, I can do the same thing. I just got to be strong in my faith and strong in my beliefs. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I'm one of the people where it actually worked for me. I've got a lot of friends where they fell off and went on the same road as everyone else. But I was just like, it's not going to happen to me. I'm not going to let it happen to me. So, it's the one place I've actually been stubborn in my life. It was not falling for everyone else's tricks, so.
Yeah, okay. Well, it sounds like everything's going ideal for you as a young Christian man, strong in your faith. But then some storms of life came your way, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
Tell us about that.
Yeah, well, I got married at 21 to, she was my best friend for years at youth group. And we got married at 21, and we wanted to start a family young, but there was a lot of complications and everything like that. And then we went and got the test done and everything like that. And then I was told that I wouldn't be a dad. I couldn't be a dad.
It was you medically, not her.
It was a mixture of both. So,
okay.
There was no, they said there was no way we could have children. So, we'd done everything that you could think of, like IUI, all of that. We didn't do, IVF. Yet, because we couldn't afford it.
But that had to be devastating for you as a young person wanting to be a father.
Oh, very much. Well, because my dad was 21 when I was born, and my dad's probably my best friend. So I wanted to have that same, like, young mentality with the son growing up where I could be fun and everything like that. Mm-hmm. It's good that now I'm 35 and I'm really immature, so I kind of fit into that purpose. But, I wanted to be a dad when I was young. Like, since I was like 14, 15, I'd had lots of injuries playing basketball. So I wanted to be able to kick a footy with my son or anything with my daughter or anything in that regard. But yeah, it just wouldn't happen. It didn't happen. And so for 4 years, we kept trying. And then after 4 years, my wife was like, you know, I don't feel this is going anywhere. I feel like we're falling apart. We're just flatmates living together. And I was like, okay, I kind of feel the same way. And then she took off, but little did I know, she was actually taking off with another person. So for 2 years, she had been trying to get pregnant, not with me. So
Oh, wow.
That made me feel, I guess, like,
Yeah.
Rubbish. And so, and
of
then
course,
at,
yeah.
at the same time, I had, I was getting right up there with trying to be a professional basketball player. And I was finally making my way through the door. Cause I'm only a short guy, so I'm often overlooked.
How tall are you?
Australia. 5'9" Mm-hmm. So for a basketball player, that's short. For normal everyday yeah. living, that's decent. But,
yeah, you're taller than me.
So, I finally got my foot in the door, and then, I tore my ACL, I fractured my kneecap, did something to my meniscus and all that kind of stuff all in one go. And it was around the same time that I found out all this stuff about my wife, and wow. that just tore me apart.
Yeah.
And like pretty much any normal person, I took it out on God, and I was like,
yeah, I was going to say, how did you react? What did that do to your faith at that time?
It shook it.
yeah, understandably.
I believed he was there. I just lost the point of like, you do not care for me. How could this kind of thing happen, especially with everything that I've done in my life to mm-hmm. be a good testament or a disciple pretty much of sharing and living an example of what Jesus did. And then this happens mm-hmm. to me. I'm like, how could you let this happen to me? And then, so I cried out. I was on Burley Hill. It was pouring with rain. I was like, I'm going to end life. This is not cool. This isn't funny.
Oh, wow.
And, So
you got that despondent.
It was the first time I was ever depressed. I didn't know how to handle it. So,
yeah.
I had nothing to fall back on, after everything happened with basketball, because that's all I had ever focused on since I was real little. So, yeah, I lost it pretty much. And so I was screaming at God, like, how could you do this? Like, you have a week to show me that you actually care for me. And so then I received messages through the following week from friends that I grew up with, and they were like Bible verses and inviting me to come to their church. They didn't know anything that was going on. It was just like a message saying, mm-hmm. hey, we've been thinking about you. It's been a while. Well, let's hang out. Come to church. We've got this Islander night thing. You should come along. It'd be great. So I was like, okay.
So you kind of challenged God, it sounds like.
Yeah, oh yeah, very much. Yeah, I was like, you got a week to show me that something's, or I'm gone.
Our guest today is Christian hip-hop artist Rhys Solomon, otherwise known as D4C. As we just heard, at a low point in his life, Rhys challenged God to show up in his life. We'll find out what happened next when we return right here on Real Faith.
The Word for Today is Australia's most widely read daily devotional, designed to give you practical teaching to keep you focused on your relationship with Jesus. Read it online or subscribe to the free printed edition at thewordfortoday.com.au.
You're listening to Real Faith, conversations with real people about how God works in their lives. If you want to know more about integrating faith into your life, our website is realfaith.org.au. Just go to the website and you'll find helpful articles about the impact faith can have on your life. Once again, that's realfaith.org.au.
Welcome back. I'm Eric Scadabo, and today my guest is hip-hop artist Rhys Solomon, otherwise known as D4C. Before the break, we heard how at a low point in his life, Rhys gave God an ultimatum. Now we'll find out what happened next in his life.
Yeah, I was like, you got a week to show me that something's, or I'm gone. And he answered, all these messages from my friends that I hadn't seen in years, but we're very close to my heart, I guess, because mm-hmm. I'd done yeah. youth group with them over like since I was like 14, 15 years old. And so I came along to this Islander night, and it was great. Like, the music really appealed to me because I'm into that kind of music. And then mm-hmm. the preacher pretty much answered every single question that I was throwing at God that night. And it was just like God was speaking to me. So I just rededicated my life, and I feel like that was the turning point that I'd taken my Christian walk for granted, I guess. For me, it was comfortable growing up. That's all. It was what I knew. My Christian life was what I knew, but it wasn't until I had this, I guess, rubbish happen on my life that turned it around to make me be like, whoa, God, like, you're amazing. So, yeah, I just went all out after that. And
Yeah, I'm just trying to put myself in your situation. I mean, everything is going fine. And then these three different devastating blows that you mentioned, you know, the injury, so your basketball career wasn't going to happen, your wife leaving you, and then before that, finding out that it looked like you couldn't be a father.
Yep.
That's a whole lot to take all in a short period of time.
Oh, yeah. It was pretty full on.
But as you mentioned, God came through for you. What happened next in your life?
So I'd always played around with the idea of music. When I was a teenager, I used to make music for friends, for them to mm-hmm. rap over or sing over or anything like that. So I'd just been playing with the idea because I was depressed. I was at home just chilling out. And so I was just playing music. And I was making these, in hip-hop, we call them beats. So I was making these beats mm-hmm. and I was making them for friends and everything like that. And then one day I made this one beat and I was just like, this is way too good for anyone else to be on. Like,
that's going
to
be my beat.
Yeah, I was like, I hadn't even thought about rapping or anything like that, but I'd heard this thing. I was like, that is, no one can touch this because they won't do it justice. So I was like, oh man, I'll try and rap to it. So I wrote this rap and it was one of the most technical raps I've ever written. So I did it. I filmed myself rapping over the beat on a video camera and then I posted it on YouTube. And after that, yeah, it went nuts. I had people just like, man, keep going. This is amazing. This is what we need in Australia. So I was just like,
had you ever done anything like that before?
No, not personally. I'd when I was in youth group, I went to Thailand on a missions trip and mm-hmm. my pastor, he knew my love for hip hop and everything like that. So he got me to rap while we were over in Thailand to like all the school kids. So uh-huh. that kind of got me to realize, oh, rapping's for me was quite easy. So that was the only time I've ever really done it. And then, I did this, I guess because I'd listened to so much hip hop and studied hip hop, I guess like religiously. Yeah, I found it quite easy. So
this started to take off for you?
Yeah, it started, yeah. Since then, it's been a lot of work, but it's, my stubbornness and my passion for hip hop, has kept me going.
Okay, so you started to get some success. Sounds like a very positive response to your YouTube video.
Yep.
What happened next?
Well, it's funny, like most Christian hip-hop guys in Australia, you're like, man, I'm going to be huge, I'm going to be big. Yeah, that's not the case. So a lot of what I was doing, I was forking my own money into it, my own finances and mm-hmm. everything like that. So, and I have been for years. Like, you don't make much. But for me, it was like, it was my way of, I guess, sharing my faith in an easier way. Because I'm normally mm-hmm. technically a kind of a shy guy. I'm not the greatest talker, I guess, to people because most of what I want to talk about is either basketball or music.
So you would rather communicate through your rapping?
Oh, definitely, yeah.
Well, let's hear some of your rapping. What song do you recommend?
El Shaddai. That's one of my better songs that I've put out. So.
Jesus died for you, sins are forgiven. Blah! Now put your hands to the sky. He's the Alpha and Omega, the one who sacrificed and died and rose again, all for you and I. He's the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, he is El Shaddai. Yeah, now put your hands to the sky. He's the Alpha and Omega, the one who sacrificed and died and rose again, all for you and I. He's the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, he is El Shaddai.
So it's time to let you hear this. Listen to every lyric, every noun, every verb and syllable I'm giving. Doesn't matter what you've done, doesn't matter what you're thinking, doesn't matter what you can't stop, be a habit or addiction. He paid the price for you, gave up his life on two pieces.
That's El Shaddai by our guest today, D4C, which stands for Disciple for Christ. Is that right? Is that what D4C stands for?
Yep, that's perfect.
And how did you come up with that kind of nickname? I mean, that's kind of the thing with hip hop. Everybody's got to have like this kind of a nickname. Is that right?
Yeah. So D4C, I came up with that when I was maybe like 8 or 9 years old.
Oh, yeah. Wow, you've been thinking about this a long time.
Yeah, well, it was actually, it was a clothing label that I had envisioned when I was like 9 years old to make like t-shirts and hats and everything like that. And yeah, when I started rapping, I was like, oh man, I should take on that D4C name. Like it kind of speaks about exactly what I am. So yeah, I took it on because I was like, I'm not going to be doing clothing. So.
So the clothing thing didn't take off, but the rap thing is going great.
Yeah.
And tell us about the success of that song we just heard, El Shaddai.
Oh man, that's crazy. Cause I've never thought about charting. I don't even try to chart. It's not something that's ever on my radar, but I received a message cause I released it on Good Friday. Cause it kind of mm-hmm. goes with the message of the song. So I received a message from a friend of mine and he's like, check the iTunes charts. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
I checked the iTunes charts and it was at number 88. And I was like, what? What's going on?
Wow.
So, like,
that's cool.
I did this post on Facebook where I'm like, oh my gosh, I just saw that I'm number 88. This is insane. I'm like, thank you so much. I'm like, I've never even thought about this. And then I was doing an event that morning in Fortitude Valley. And after the event, I got home and I checked the iTunes charts again. And I was somewhere in the 50s. And I was like, this is crazy. What's going on? And then it gradually kept going, like 27, and then it was 11, and I was like, wow, can we make the top 10? And then it went 10, and then the morning of Sunday, April the 1st, I think it was, it was number 7. So I'd actually cracked the top 10 of the inspirational charts.
Wow, cool.
And it was cool, because you see, like, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 is, like, Hillsong, and then there's, like, someone else at number 6, can't remember who it was, and then number 7, that was me. I'm like, whoa, look, I'm in between Hillsong. This is crazy. So, but then when you go to the Christian rap charts, I was number 1. So that was like, me, it was insanity. So,
yeah. That had to really boost your confidence.
Oh, well, I'd been doing it for 10 years, and that was like the first song that had actually gone anywhere to the point where I could be like, hey, I'm on the charts. So, it was crazy. Especially, it was surreal because it's not something that you even think about, especially 10 years into your career, you're not thinking, oh, yeah, I'm going to make a song that's going to chart. So, it was cool.
Yeah, that's got to be a wonderful feeling of accomplishment. Now let's turn back to your life personally. What has happened for you lately?
Well, I got remarried 6 years ago, and that was good. We managed to be – we had the same trouble as well. We weren't able to fall pregnant, and that sucks, especially when it's like your one dream.
Yeah.
And then so we tried. We did everything possible. And then we managed to just miraculously have money just fall in our laps. And we're like, oh, let's try IVF. Like, that was the first thing we thought of. Let's try IVF. So we did IVF, and I'd had a lot of friends that had done IVF, and it never had gotten anywhere. And they'd had a lot of disappointment and everything like that. And so we were preparing ourselves that it could happen to us as well. But first go around, we fell pregnant. So,
wow.
Yeah,
fantastic.
I was 31. So it was 10 years later than what I wanted to be a dad at 21, but at 31, I was fine. I guess it was good because I was, I guess, more mature in a way, even though I'm quite immature as it is, but I guess I was ready for it would be the thing. Because I work a full-time job as well, I'd actually got myself into a good place to be able to support a family. So, yeah, we had a beautiful son. His name's Jordan, named after the Jordan River. Or Michael Jordan. So
so you're a dad now.
Yeah, man. And just 4 months ago, we had a second one. So I got two boys now. So it's great.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah.
So your dream of becoming a father has come true.
Yeah, well, that's my biggest dream in life has come true. Being a dad is the one thing I've always wanted since I was a little youngin. So, yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Unfortunately, we're running out of time, but let's end with you sharing with us about your ministry. What are you involved with?
Well, there's my 413 Records, which is a record label that I run and produce a lot of music through. I'm also part of a group called The Commission, and we travel around Australia, and we've got people situated around Australia, like Sydney, Melbourne, Perth, Brisbane, and Gold Coast, and we just... We go into juvenile detention centers and schools and cafes and anywhere we can get, like youth groups and churches, obviously. And we just preach the gospel. We do our music, and we just try and reach people, especially people that other people cannot reach, because we speak the language of the generation of today, and people that are in like rural areas and everything, they kind of listen to what we're saying. So, we get to do that. And I'm also part of Crosswords Logan, who we also do the same thing and go into detention centers and jails.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much for sharing your story with us today.
No worries. Thank you for having me.
Our guest today has been Reese Solomon, otherwise known as D4C. If you want to find out more information about his music, the website is 413records.com. That's 413records.com. While there, you can learn more about his music and the other groups that he helps to produce for.
You've been listening to Real Faith, and if you have any questions or comments, you can send us a message through our website, realfaith.org.au. That's realfaith.org.au. Thanks for listening, and we invite you to join us again next time for more conversations about God working in the lives of people who put their faith and trust in Him. That's real people, real life, and real faith.
This program is a production of Vision Christian Media. To find out more about us, see vision.org.au.